They left the room and started down the unsteady steps to the second floor. "Who's the sheriff?" Ray asked over his shoulder.
"Guy named Sawyer."
"Good guy?"
"It doesn't matter."
"You close to him?"
"I did his son's divorce."
The conference room was a wonderful mess of thick law books thrown about on shelves and credenzas and the long table itself. The impression was given that Harry Rex spent hours in tedious research. He did not. Sawyer was not the least bit polite, nor was his assistant, a nervous little Italian named Sandroni. Italians were rare in Northeast Mississippi, and during the tense introductions, Ray detected a Delta accent. The two were all business, with Sandroni taking careful notes, while Sawyer sipped steaming coffee from a paper cup and watched every move Ray made. The fire call was made by Mrs. Larimore at 2:34, approximately 10 to 15 minutes after she had seen Ray's car leave 4th Street in a hurry. Elmer Conway radioed at 2:36 that he was in pursuit of some idiot doing 100 miles an hour down in the bottoms. Since it was established that Ray was driving very fast, Sandroni spent a long time nailing down his route, his estimated speeds, traffic lights, anything to slow him down at that hour of the morning. Once Ray's exit route was determined, Sawyer radioed a deputy who was sitting in front of the rubble at Maple Run and told him to drive the exact course at the same estimated speeds and to stop out in the bottoms where Elmer was once again waiting. 12 minutes later, the deputy called back and said he was with Elmer. So in less than 12 minutes, Sandroni said as he began his recap,
"Someone, and we're assuming this someone was not already in the house, aren't we, Mr. Attlee, entered with what evidently was a large supply of gasoline and soaked the place thoroughly, so thoroughly that the fire captain said he'd never smell such a strong odor of gas, then threw a match or maybe two, because the fire captain was almost certain the fire had more than one point of origin, and once the matches were thrown, this unknown arsonist fled into the night. Right, Mr. Attlee?"
"I don't know what the arsonist did," Ray said.
"But the times are accurate."
"If you say so."
"I say so."
"Move along," Harry Rex growled from the end of the table.
Motive was next. The house was insured for $380,000, including contents. According to the realtor, who'd already been consulted, he had been writing up an offer to purchase it for $175,000.
"That's a nice gap, isn't it, Mr. Attlee?" Sandroni inquired.
"It is."
"Have you notified your insurance company?"
Sandroni asked.
"No, I thought I'd wait until their office is open," Ray responded. "Believe it or not, some folks don't work on Saturday." "Hell, the fire truck's still there," Harry Rex added helpfully. "We got 6 months to file a claim."
Sandroni's cheeks turned crimson, but he held his tongue. Moving right along, he studied his notes and said,
"Let's talk about other suspects."
Ray didn't like the use of the word other. He told the story about the brick through the window, or at least most of the story, and the phone call warning him to leave immediately.
"Check the phone records," he challenged them.
And for good measure, he threw in the earlier adventures with some demented soul rattling windows the night the judge died.
"Y'all had enough,"
Harry Rex said after 30 minutes. "In other words, my client will answer no more questions."
"When are you leaving town?" asked Sawyer.
"I've been trying to leave for the past 6 hours," Ray replied.
"Real soon," said Harry Rex.
"We may have some more questions."
"I'll come back whenever I'm needed," Ray said.
Harry Rex shoved them out the front door, and when he returned to the conference room, he said,
"I think you're a lying son of a bitch.